This week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at Heavy Play. If you're interested in getting some innovative curved sleeves, or even trying out their Equip Mag system that connects your playmat, deck box, and dice box together with high-quality magnets, check out HeavyPlay.com. Use the code DARKDEPTHS10 for 10% off your order. Again, thank you to our friends over at HeavyPlay.com. Enjoy the show. Thank you to our friends over at Magnolia Gaming, a leading supplier for all things TCG. If you're looking for a place to pick up cards for your next big event, or maybe you just want to do a draft with the new set with your best friends, use MagnoliaGames.com to pick up everything you need from Magic the Gathering, Flesh and Blood, Lorcana, and more. They have an excellent buy list to help you trade those extra modern cards for your first dual land, or maybe that old Angus McKenzie commander deck collecting dust can be traded in for the last cards you need for your collection. And be on the lookout for Magnolia Games at your next large regional event. Use our affiliate code to help support the Dark Depths podcast. Again, go to MagnoliaGames.com and tell them the Dark Depths podcast sent you. All right, enjoy the show. Welcome to the Dark Depths Podcast, your go-to place for the modern legacy format. I'm one of your hosts, Billy Mitchell, and with me, our guest of the month from February, but still here in March, the Reforged Researcher himself, Alex Smith. How are you?
Hello, hello. The news of my disappearances has been greatly exaggerated.
Yeah, I'm glad you got to make it back with us. It's obviously always good to have you on.
Yeah, of course. There's no skipped week here, too.
Nope.
This is the next episode from the last episode.
That's true.
No missed time too.
No. You know? Yeah.
It's like we're just picking up where we left off.
That's what it feels like. That's really what it feels like.
Exactly.
Hopefully you've been well.
Yeah, been good. You know, we're lucky enough, at least where we are in the Northeast, we just had a good string of weather. So that like first kind of, you know, that first little preview of maybe spring to come.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's definitely been nice. I've been trying to enjoy the weather as much as humanly possible, which is, believe it or not, not very hard to do. I think the high on Sunday was like 64 or something like that here.
It was perfect. Mm-hmm. Look, I think a good way to say it is we were able to enjoy the beautiful weather before we lock ourselves in a dark basement for several hours this coming weekend.
Yep. I love the sunshine, but I love being in basements. So for those who don't know, we are going to play host, to SCG Philly this weekend. Obviously, Alex and I are not only from the Philadelphia area, but we're actually like basically in the area where the SCG will be held. So I think a good insight into the good stuff to do in this area. So the episode this week is basically just like, what do we do, right? This is your first time in the Philadelphia area, the bright lights everywhere. Where do you go? What should you be looking out for? Where do you eat? There's just so much to do when you're in SCG Philly, aka Valley Forge Casino.
Yeah, I think a good place to start is to have a fair warning, so people don't experience what I experienced in Denver. Do you want to get into it, Billy, or should I get into it?
I will get into it for you. I mean, we can parlay. Yeah. I guess if we want to like.
Yeah, no. Let's parlay it a little bit. So Billy, SCG Philly, huh?
Yeah.
That's a name, right?
It is a name, and you know what? Philadelphia is a very well known area. Philadelphia has been around for literal hundreds of years.
Historic city.
It is, yeah.
Used to be the country's capital.
It used to be. That is very true. It's very true. And actually, it's really cool because historic Valley Forge is where George Washington actually had his armies set over for the winter. So a lot of the things that you know about the Civil War history is essentially based off the idea that, you know, Valley Forge saved our nation. We are basically the area that saved America. I mean, if you really want to put it, you know, straightforward. So even though Philadelphia and Valley Forge are both integrated into the history of the United States, we need to be very clear that this event, SCG Philly, is not actually in Philadelphia. It is in Historic Valley Forge.
Yeah. That's just true.
And hopefully by the time you listen to this, you've already booked your hotel and all that stuff if you're coming from out of town. So I am hoping that you will not make the mistake that people tend to make where they, go to the wrong place and, you know.
Nobody would do that. Nobody has ever done that.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah. Yeah. It may happen from time to time, though. So I don't want to shame anybody. I don't think that's in good form. But do please make sure that you actually do end up in the right location. And one of the, I guess, the nice things about the area is that there's a lot to do. Honestly, I think the, you could very easily be in Philadelphia. And I know if you've been to Philly, there's like the, terminal, Reading Terminal Market and lots of great restaurants.
Yeah, I do think it's a little bit, to be fair, right? If you are coming from out of town and you did still want to end up staying in the city, perfectly fine. It is still reasonable. You're going to be still like a 25-30 minute drive from the event, but you still get to experience the city. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a similar situation that I just experienced from my Denver trip. Obviously, I would recommend only do that, though, if you planned for that. Maybe don't do that if you were like me and actually thought that the event was in the city that you thought the event was named after.
Yeah.
So Just hindsight's kind of 2020 here. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely stuff, obviously, within the heart of Center City itself, if you wanted to end up going there. Places to stay if you did want to end up staying in the city. I mean, honestly, like, anywhere kind of, like, in Center City itself, you know, Museum District, if you kind of want to get, like, you know, at least the, like, restaurants, downtown, the General Convention Center, like, Reading Terminal. What is Reading Terminal off of, like, 15th? 14th? Am I crazy?
I think it's 12th. 15th.
Yeah, like Chinatown's right there too. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of like really good stuff if you wanted to stay in the city like itself. Or obviously, you know, this is at Valley Forge Casino and Resorts, which is where the event actually is.
Mm-hmm.
There is, you know, King of Prussia, like right down the street. There's a bunch of also very, very good restaurants right there. What do they even call that? Like, is that like, do they call that like their new? It's so funny because King of Prussia, it's mostly, you know, one of those towns where it's basically like businesses are, right? Mm-hmm. A ton of industrial complexes, a ton of offices, but there's no real, you know, houses.
Yeah.
No. So it's almost like they made this fake little town center. I think it actually might be called like King of Prussia Main Street.
I think it is. Right? That sounds right.
It's so funny because it's like they made a fake town square. They're like, yeah, people are here. And it's set up like it would be a mini downtown, like two blocks basically.
Yeah.
But then there's no houses. It's like, yeah, just come here, walk around. A lot of good restaurants. Fogo de Chao. Mm-hmm. We've been there a couple times.
Love Fogo.
Love a good Fogo. Can't go wrong there. The Rum Bar that's right there, I know, is also very good. The breakfast place, Founding Farmers.
Is good for breakfast, good for lunch, great for dinner.
Playing on that whole little history, right? You know, Philly, Valley Forge, Founder, it completes the package.
It does. It definitely does. Yeah, so if that is definitely one of those places. I think that when I'm looking around at different places for dinner, like, generally in, like, that entire, like, town center area is not super far from the actual venue, right? It's, like, maybe a five-minute drive.
Five minutes, yeah. Tops.
So you can very easily get to there, you know, finish your last round, pop over in a matter of minutes. I mean, like, it is, and again, the food is fantastic. I think it's very underrated. Trying to convince people that the food there is good, somehow difficult, but it is a very good place to eat.
Yeah, I don't know. So for some reason, a lot of people that we know of, they're just like, yeah, but Chili's is right there. And I'm like, look, no shame. Baby back ribs, man. Just... Mm. You know, but at some point, maybe a little stale.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. And like there is, oh my gosh, I can't think of the name of it actually. There is a place that serves, I'm trying to think, Plaza El Teca is like a little Mexican place too.
Yeah, Plaza El Teca is also right there. That's true.
I love me some Plaza. The place is delightful. And I feel like that's another one of those places that like every time I try to explain that to somebody, they're like, I just don't understand what the hype is. It's just like... Just Mexican food. It's like, yeah, but it's really good Mexican food.
It's very good Mexican food. It's all true.
Yeah. So I am, I'm excited. I'm hoping that we eventually have a, more, I'm happy that we have the opportunity to actually eat food at places that, like, I'm more familiar with. Like, being able to search around is not great. And there are obviously food options at the Valley Forge Casino, but
don't do that to people. Yeah. I wouldn't do that. Okay, so look, obviously, if you're of age, right, you are at a casino. Valley Forge is the stereotypical, you know, like, regional casino. If you've ever had the, I'm not going to say pleasure. Realistically, it's going to say, displeasure, probably closer, of being in, where it's like the casino itself, it's eh. The convention area is actually pretty decent, I actually would say, compared to where I just came from in Colorado to this. Valley Forge, I never thought I'd be, like, clamoring to go back to that basement, but God, they at least have light.
They do have light, yeah.
They have light, but it's casino resort food, right? It's they got a little sushi place, they got a little Italian place. Dunkin's big. Don't sleep on Dunkin'. Because you know what? America runs on Dunkin'.
That is true. I've heard that.
Where's our segue for that sponsorship? Where's Dunkin'? What, Billy, why aren't you on this?
I know. Well, I'll talk to Dunkin' people, but, like, I feel like if we're looking for sponsors, we already got great sponsors, right? We've got Heavy Play, who, if you need to protect your cards, fantastic place to get the mag system that protects your cards, keeps everything nice and tidy with their magnet, which is really sweet. But they also do have Magnolia Gaming, actually, one our other sponsor, is actually going to be at the event. One of the many different vendors who's going to be there and available to provide cards if need be. I know you are a... freezing for this. I know you are a person who likes to make sure they have the cards that they need, like a sane person, which I appreciate. You know what Friday is going to be, right? As far as Magic cards are concerned.
What are you talking about?
Is Friday
a day? Is something coming out?
There is something coming out. We get the
really?
Yeah, we get the what's it called?
Really?
Was it Panic at the Disco? Monte Carlo. What is it called? The Fallout. Yeah, Fallout.
What we talked about.
Yeah.
I lost it for a second
there. Yeah, that happens sometimes. That's okay.
Wait. My mistake here. Are we no longer a travel recommendation podcast? Am I not filling in for that? Are we going back to the card games?
No. I mean, I think it's important to make sure that our listeners are prepared for every aspect of the event, and that includes actually having their cards for the event, which is one of those things that I constantly am like, I feel like people should have their cards, but, like, people sometimes just don't have their cards. So I like to make sure that we are all on the same footing here.
Yeah, absolutely. Always trying to help out with the people. Yeah. I'm excited about this, too. So I do think all of the stuff that we did talk about is good for any of the listeners who are going to be new to the area, though. Highly would recommend, if you want at least decent food close by, seriously, check it out. It is King of Prussia Main Street is what they call it. I just looked it up to validate. So my two cents, I'm a man of convenience, and I travel enough for these kind of things. It's always nice to know that you're going to end up having reasonable options within a close distance.
Yeah.
5-minute Uber ride, completely reasonable as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. But yeah, did you want to dive into SCG Philly?
I did. I mean, so again, some kind of background information. Obviously, if you're not familiar with the area, Valley Forge Casino has free parking. There is a valet station. Don't do that. Don't be that person.
Don't do that.
No. But there is a valet station. But there is free parking. There's plenty of parking. I think even at its most filled, I've never actually seen it hit capacity. So, like, there's no fear about, you know, whether or not you'll have an opportunity to actually, you know, park your car or whatnot. Like, you'll be fine. You'll manage. Just make sure you actually do the parking stuff. We also have at the casino, I want to make sure, well, not we, I don't work there. The casino does have a historic issue with having bad reception. So just make sure that you have a fully charged phone. Don't expect to be, if you're waiting for, like, the birth of your child, when you should not be at this event in the first place. But also, it's just not a good place to try to do that. So just expect that there will be some missed text and phone calls, and if your child is born while you're there, you will not get that phone call.
Not going to get that phone call.
No. Which is a shame. I've missed many a phone call and trying to find friends and where are you?
That is not how I thought that segue was going to go. I thought you were going to be like, yeah, I was in Valley Forge. I missed the birth of my daughter.
Oh.
I was gonna be like, whoa.
No, that hasn't happened too often. That is one of those things that I try to avoid. I try to stay married as long as possible. And if you're going to end up looking at a lot of the things that Valley Forge has to offer, essentially, you really do, again, want to be very careful to make sure that you are getting the, how to phrase this, I want to make sure, I want you to be happy, but I want you to make sure that you are actually prepared. And again, food options are plentiful in the area, not at the actual casino. You are going to be very disappointed if you're so. But there is water. That's the one, I don't know if people talk about this enough, but there are plenty of options for you to get water at the venue. So you don't need to worry about will I be able to fill my water bottle? Just bring your own water bottle. They usually have multiple water dispensers around. There's plenty of bathrooms. You will be fine on that front.
Again, Valley Forge is not actually a bad venue. Mm-hmm. So yeah, ample parking, free parking, ample convention space. There's always, a decent amount of vendors. So yeah, definitely gonna end up being a good weekend for the event. I think SCG always puts on a good show too.
They do.
I've never, knock on wood here, especially just Valley Forge, I'm not worried about it, but I've never actually been to a bad SCG.
No, I don't think so. It's definitely one of those venues that I don't know if this is reasonable is probably not the right word, but I always feel like it should not be as good of an experience as it is, and then I'm going there, I'm like, this was nice, this was good, every single time.
Every time you go, you're like, you know what, I needed that.
Mm-hmm. So I guess besides that, I know we have some big events there, but I guess we'll start small. What if I want to go play a little bit of CEDH? I know I'm a big fan of CEDH.
Big fan of CEDH. I always forget. Did you and Mapson, is this podcast a CEDH podcast?
It's not.
Despite your best efforts?
I've tried for years, and every time, just disappointment. Yeah, no, it's not a CEDH podcast, unfortunately. But we do have a number of, I don't even want to say, there's a number of things that you can do at this event that end up allowing you, you have the opportunity to play a lot of Magic. And EDH is one of them. However, there is an area that's designated for it. There's actually a CEDH event that I was interested in playing in, but I cannot because I do not have access. I do not have the badge for it. And as far as I know, I think the badge actually did fill up. So, if you are not already playing CEDH, you are not playing CEDH this weekend.
I think that's just the weekend badge. I checked earlier and I saw there was, the day individual badges still. If you are that hard up to play CEDH.
Okay. All right.
Saturday is still available.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah, I thought that it was already filled. I thought we were done on that front, but that's good. I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's because it says it's on-site only.
So there's
on demand. That's what it is. There's Saturday, it's just constant on demand. They're like, yep, constant on demand. And then they do have a CEDH 5K that's on site registration only for Saturday.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Yeah, that's one of the things I was I don't say worried about, but I really do obviously love the format CEDH. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll play, but if I can't get into the area, then I definitely can't play. So I won't be doing that. But there are, obviously plenty of events that you can play in. I think the big event for for Saturday or Friday and for Saturday is Modern. So I know there's a couple qualifiers for the big Modern 10K on Saturday. Are you going to be playing in that?
Yeah, that's the plan. The plan is to play in Modern on Saturday, and then obviously, depending how that goes, I might pivot Sunday to, do one of the sealed events, or I think they also have a Legacy event on Sunday.
They do. That's the one I'm playing in. I know Mapson is, I think, in a similar boat. I could be wrong, too. I don't want to speak for him, but I believe his plan was to go absolutely hog wild. I don't think he's able to play the Modern 5K on Friday.
No,
there actually is just a straight up 5K. Starts
there's
at 1
a straight
PM
up 5K though. On Friday?
Yeah, 1 p.m.
Dang.
That could be you, people at home. That's historically, that's usually one of the smaller events just because, you have to be, you're coming from out of town. You know, it's a 3-hour drive. You're coming to play Modern at 1. So, you're leaving your house at, 10. Maybe that's not too bad, but, usually people don't take off work to go to this event super early. They'll just take off, the weekend. So this, if you do want to try to spike a slightly, I don't want to say softer event, but a slightly smaller event than you would on Sunday, for example, the Modern 5K on Friday is a great opportunity to do that. But yeah, there are the Legacy 10K trials as well that get you a buy on Saturday if you want to get there, or on Sunday, on Friday if you want to get there a little later. That starts at 4. But yeah, that the gold event, the Modern 10K, is the big marquee event, which, I think anyone would be happy to, make the finals, get, a grand or two, get invite to DreamHack Dallas. That seems like a really sweet cherry on top of a pretty good weekend.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Look, I feel like we got to know some people in our area that are going to do well in some of these events. It would just, like you said, be the kind of cherry on top of everything. It's like, hey, also, defend your home turf, mm-hmm. right? I want somebody that we know, or even a listener of the show, potentially, right? Mm-hmm. Winning. That'd be nice. Locals, that'd also be nice.
Yeah,
so actually, let's set the stage, right? It's either or. Those are the only acceptable answers. You either have to be a listener of the show or a local.
Okay.
You have to win then. It's just the rules. Mm-hmm. I don't make them.
No, not at all. Yeah, and that is, I think this will be an event that, looking back, will be oh yeah, this kind of indicative. I know there actually is a, I don't know if you saw this, there's a ban restricted announcement coming up on Monday. So there could be some differences. I don't want to speculate, but I'm going to hold my Splinter Twins tight just in case. But yeah, I am expecting something to happen. I don't know what format. It doesn't particularly matter. I'm not trying to think about that right now. Just trying to focus on good deck building for this weekend. But, I think this is going to be one of those events that we look back on and we're like, yep, that was a crazy format. I think Modern is in a really weird spot. I know some people are really enjoying it, but I'm not really enjoying the format right now. Even though I'm still trying to play it, still trying to make sure I'm current for the show and whatnot. I really don't like what's going on. And I'm hoping whatever the ban and restricted announcement is, I hope it addresses some of the issues I'm having right now.
You know what we need? More speed.
We do need more speed. Yeah.
We need more speed, more consistency.
More cunning.
More cunning, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. Maybe some shamans. Yeah. Right? I don't know, I'm trying to get something for Splinter Twin. I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it.
Well, I'm sure, what is Splinter Twin at this point? It's a ratted, I know. I feel like it should be a Phyrexian by now, but I'm not sure if that's actually true.
It should, right?
Yeah.
It feels very Phyrexian.
It has to be. But I feel like it's one of those cards that doesn't scream Phyrexian, so maybe it's I don't know. Let's see. Deceiver, Exarch. Is a Phyrexian cleric. It actually is a Phyrexian cleric. That's cool.
Oh, they did.
Yeah, good for them. Oh, that means that means that if you have that you Plague Engineer on Phyrexian, now you can't kill them.
Can't get them.
Jeez.
Can't get them.
Well, okay, that's disappointing. Well, again, we'll deal with this next week when Splinter Twin gets unbanned. In the meantime, I am expecting there to be, just because we talked about a couple weeks ago, I'm expecting there to be a lot of suspense spells being cast, whether that is Crashing Footfalls or it's Living End. I'm expecting there to be a lot of abilities going on to the stack.
Yeah, I'd agree. I would say in a couple of weeks since we last really delved into it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's been too many major shifts, right? Yeah. Kind of curious to see how Rhinos does ends up shaking up here, right? Mm-hmm. Is the domain really going to take over? Is that going to be the new standard? Or is it going to end up being the more general? Kind of interesting to see how that's going to work out. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually really funny, too, because, like, I feel like it still is, like, one of the better decks in, like, looking at some of the challenges of the weekend, like I saw Azax ended up winning with Crashing Footfalls, playing the four Leyline of the Guild Packs, the four Leyline Bindings, the four Scion of Dracos, like, you know, all that fun stuff. I feel like that is still probably the best deck, but like I'm still seeing a number of people playing things like Amulet Titan. The Scam deck obviously is still performing well. Murktide actually made a couple appearances this weekend as well after kind of taking a break. A couple oddballs in terms of like decks, such as Gorgor's Vengeance and Boros Convoke, which not decks I kind of anticipated seeing, but you know, I think for the most part the format is pretty, I don't want to say vanilla, but pretty well defined in terms of you trying to do something very powerful relatively quickly and make kind of putting your opponent to the test.
Yeah. I would agree pretty much with everything that you ended up saying. I'm gonna hope. I want a hero for the weekend for sure. I would be thrilled if we had a hero weekend where, like, you know, somebody just comes out of left field. Right now, I would lean towards Mapson potentially being a hero, even with just Titan.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird for me to say that. It's like, even though I think Titan is still super well positioned, that I would want Titan to take down some Rhinos, but that's kind of the world, at least I personally feel like I'm living in.
The world we were cheering for Mapson, that's wild.
It took a lot for us to get here.
Yeah.
But you know what? For him, I'll do it.
Oh, wow. I'll
do it.
You're a bigger man than I am. oh, gosh. Yeah, that is. I definitely agree with you. I think it's going to be interesting. I'm actually going to try a message SCG. Apparently, I got big timed by SCG because I can't message them. Like, unless they follow you, you can't message them at all.
Oh, no.
So, like, I messaged, like, you know, saying, like, you know, the offices are, like, featured creators. Like, I don't even want to do that. Like, I don't want to be a featured creator. I want to be able to do my own thing. I just want a press pass so when I harass the people in the modern 10K that nobody gets mad at me. That's all I want. But I think I'm going to be there on Saturday. I'm not playing. I'm just going to be hanging around the venue, and I'm going to try to get some interviews with people who are playing the format, just because I think that'd be interesting content. Like, you know, try to do a...
I'd agree.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if a CEDH pod sneaks in there,
oh my gosh.
You know.
Well, I mean, I'm the victim at that point. What could I do?
Well, what could you do?
Yeah. This light pulse just fell out of my hands. I don't know. It's wild.
That deck is still the meanest deck I think I've ever seen anybody play.
I love light pulse so much. Oh my gosh. Yeah, if you're at the event, if you want to get a game of CEDH in, or even, like, I guess, like, high-powered EDH, I guess it's fine too. Definitely let me know. I'll bring Lightpath with me. But I will have Thamone and Dina and Grixis Pirates, I believe, on the weekend to play some games with. I'll have some casual decks too, but you know, if you have time.
Not just the mean decks.
Not just the mean decks. I'm trying to have a good time. That's the goal.
Yeah. Well, look, Lightpath is about fair magic. How's that not a good time?
It right? is. I'm attacking with creatures every turn. What's more fair than that?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the most fair magic you can possibly have. Mm-hmm. Look, just because nobody else can cast anything.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Not my fault.
Not your fault.
No. If you are continuing to play on Sunday, which is Mario Day, keep that in mind, March 10th, just make sure that you bring either your modern deck or your legacy deck. Obviously, they have a modern 5K at least every single day. That includes Sunday, having them on 5K. They also do have a legacy 5K, and I understand the reason why, but it still hurts my soul. You know, if you want to qualify for DreamHack Dallas, you should probably be playing Modern, even though both of the events have the same prize pool. There is no qualification for the first place winner of the Legacy 5K, so just prepare for that.
Respect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what you get. That's all you need.
I mean, to be fair, they throw out Modern 5Ks and Pioneer 5Ks willy-nilly. Like, who cares if you win a Modern 5K? You win a Legacy 5K, I'm going to remember your name. So
I'm going to know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
I was gonna say, did you want to get into Legacy a little bit? I thought I saw a couple messages from you going around, maybe trying to get a new list going or not.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay. So Modern, fine, whatever. Legacy, great format, great people. No, I'm kidding. Both are fine. Legacy right now, if you have not been paying attention to anything at all, right? Online, there are obviously the release of the cards from the Warhammer 40K, which is great, and adding some new things to the format. The big thing that's actually been, I want to say relevant, is Arkhan has been doing very, very well with a scam reanimator list, if you want to call it that. It is a, you know, the core of it, at least. It's typically either a blue-black, sometimes they splash green, but it's a blue-black reanimator list, very similar to the scam list I was actually playing at Eternal Weekend. You've got the griefs, you got the reanimates. One of the things I really liked about the list I was playing was I went up to a fifth reanimation spell with playing Animate Dead. The current build is essentially just going all in, playing four reanimate, playing four Animate Dead, actually playing Entomb as well. So you obviously have the ability to cycle your Troll of Kha'Zix Doom and then reanimate that with, you know, a reanimation spell of your choice. You have grief still, so you can scam people in that way. But because of the Entomb, you actually have the ability to find some juicier targets, whether that's a Gristlebrand or an Atraxa, or maybe even a Archon of Cruelty. This deck has been so popular online. I literally played a league, I guess it was 2 days ago, where literally every deck I played was playing blue and black and had access to grief. Besides one, the one deck that didn't was actually the Cradle Control list, which, you know, Fiend Artisan and friends, which is actually, you know, funny enough, I do think the Reanimator list is a very good list. It's very proactive, it's very hard to fight, it still has the scam ability of, you know, just putting you to the test and seeing, you know, I have no hand, you have no hand, can you beat this 3-power grief, or can you beat this 6-power troll over the course of 5 turns, or whatever. You also do have the Cradle Control list, though, I think actually is very well positioned in the fact that it top decks so well and has the ability to cast, you know, Natural Order, has Fiend Artisan. I had an opponent, once again, I believe 2 days ago, who literally tapped Fiend Artisan for 8 mana and just put an Atraxa into play. And I was like, oh, that's bad for me. Okay.
That's magic as Garfield intended.
That is. I mean, jeez. So, you know, both of these, obviously very, very good decks. I think the scam deck is going to be all over the place. So if you're playing Legacy, I would make sure you have a plan for that, whether that is, you know, having the Surgicals. I think the Hill Spell Bomb ends up being probably a better answer just because it can sit on the table and grief your opponent. I think you can also play Grafseeker's Cage if that's something you want to do. But I do think you need to have some plan for the scam deck. As for the Cradle Control list, the only reason I kind of mentioned Cage is because Cage actually does double duty there, right, where it covers both of those matchups, and I really do like Grafseeker's Cage in the meta right now. So, you know, but regardless, definitely have a plan. Be prepared to be casting and be, I guess, facing grief all day. So, that's good. Oh my gosh, there's so much grief.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I almost just feel like grief is kind of like an auto if you're in black right now, right? Because it's like, well, I'm also running four bowmasters. What's another four griefs? And then it's like you said, it's like, well, I got like either reanimate or I've got some like thought seizes, maybe some pushes. At that point, you're like, I get this. It's almost free.
Yeah. And like it's funny you said that too, because like I really have been really enjoying the Card Stalactite Stalker, which I know we've talked about, time and time again. The mono black scam list, I played it once and I was like, this cannot be as good as I think it was. I think I went like 4-1. And I played it again and I went 4-1 again. I was like, okay, so this deck's actually just good. It
Grief is
is,
good.
I mean, like, you have grief, you've got the Stalker.
Bowmasters.
Main deck Dothi Voidwalker, like there's a lot of things that you can do with the list that end up like being really just hard to fight against. Like the number of times I've lost because my opponent's just like, oh, here's a swamp Lotus Petal Voidwalker go, and it's like, oh, that's bad for me. That's really bad for me. I'm not happy about this. I've been playing the Bug Control list, which I've been really enjoying. I actually top eighted or top four, I guess, an event. Over the weekend with it, which again, deck performed very admirably. I was very happy with the things that the deck did. Shout out to Brian Koval for continuing to be a good Magic player and providing good list for the community. List was really solid, and tried out some things that again, because I'm expecting some slight differences between the in-person meta. So I
Yeah, that's always going to be the case with Legacy, though.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Like there are not enough people, and like this is, I guess, if only we could get rid of arbitrary rules that prevented me from having dual lands. But there are definitely a greater number of underground seas and a greater number of volcanic islands and all this fun stuff online than there are in paper. And I am expecting to obviously to see some amount of Delver. I'm expecting to see some amount of the bug control list, and all that fun stuff. But I'm also expecting to see, people playing other decks. Like I'm expecting someone to be playing elves. I'm expecting somebody to be playing, the painter deck or something like that. So I
I
want
want
to.
I want my hero to rise from the ashes. You know who I want, Billy?
Don't see High Tide.
It's not, no,
Oh,
come
thank
on.
goodness. Okay.
I'm a man of character. It's gotta be goblins.
Goblins, and Goblins is very solid right now. I think that deck
I
is.
feel like it is.
Yeah.
I feel like goblins, it's not a meme.
It's not a
Goblins
meme.
is real.
Yeah. And they actually have, like, a little innovation there. I actually ran into my friend Autumn, who's playing, and, they were actually talking about trying out a version of this list that, was playing four copies of The One Ring. And I saw
And I feel like it's good,
it's
right? It's
very
got
good.
it's got to be good in the deck. Like they're just killing you anyway. And I feel like so often they're like, I literally need that one more turn. And it does it.
Yeah, and like being able to actually just like you said, like I buy a turn, I'm gonna draw three additional cards, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna kill you with this Muxus like when it resolves.
You're
Like,
dead.
you're
Like, what are
dead.
you gonna do?
Yeah.
Die, I guess.
I mean, yeah, very clearly, yeah. The deck's really good. I think that is one of those ones that, as far as the stompy decks go, right, this is it puts on a lot of pressure. It's hard to remove, and a lot of the other decks don't have this density of creatures. Like 28 creatures is a lot, and it's actually one of the benefits of playing the Cradle Control list too. Like you have so many creatures that can come into play that, like, I'm playing in like in my Bug Control list. I've got two Fatal Pushes, two Shieldred's Edicts. I've got two murderous cuts, and I can, kill some things with like a Witherbloom command. But
I don't think that's going to do a lot against seven goblins on the field at the same time.
no, seven goblins, and they're most of them are two power, like
Three.
or three power. Like there's a lot of things that I have to like contend with, and I really don't have time to be dealing with all of that. Not to mention the fact that goblins are playing the Chalice. If you're looking at the Cradle Control list, they've got, sometimes they got a copy of like Al'Thor Shepherd, so you can't counter their threats. Goblins in particular does have four copies of Cavernous Souls. Like, there's a lot of things to contend with if you're a fair blue deck in terms of trying to remove all these creatures before you even get to the fact that like you know, Goblin Rival Master will just kill you if you don't deal with it in a timely fashion, and Name Sticker Goblin can come down on turn one and murder you that way. Like, there's a lot of things to be worried about in this deck.
I love how you said fair blue.
Well, yeah, I mean, Delver, right? I'm like, I feel like if you're playing Storm or something like that, you've got other issues. The fairer blue decks, right? Like, not the...
No, I know. Yeah. I know. I know what you meant. It's just always something I'm always going to laugh at, right? Like, what's the most fair color in Magic? Blue, for sure.
I mean, I think it's very clearly white, I think, is the most fair. Like, they're still casting Thalia in the year 2024, so...
Look! Yeah. Blue's fair. Like, Murktide Regent, it's a 7-mana card, right? Like,
That is very true.
That's a 7-mana card.
It does call 7-mana. It's
the most fair
Magic card out there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. I had this debate with somebody before that's like, you know, looking at like deck, like, you know, the cost of cards. I'm like, yeah, I mean, like, to be fair, like, Gaze cost 2 mana, Force of Will cost 5 mana. It's like, don't do this. Don't be that person. Like, we all know Murktide cost 2. I'll give you 3. But, like, Force of Will cost 0, Gaze cost 0. I think the number of times that I've had the ability to cast Gaze, like, with mana, and just been like, now I'm going to return this land anyways, is very high.
It feels good. It feels right doing it.
It does. It definitely does. Yeah, so, I don't know. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a really good weekend. And again, Paper Magic is unmatched. Legacy is unmatched. When the two come together, it's just a fantastic time. I'm trying to think what else I wanted to mention. Obviously, there are plenty of vendors, including our good friends over at Magnolia Gaming. I'm excited to check them out. I know there's also going to be...
There's almost everything. There's Modern, there's Pioneer, there's a standard RCQ, I think, on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
right? Obviously, Fallout's coming out for the weekend. So there's if you are into Commander, there's even more Commander events, not just the CEDH pools going on. They're going to have sealed Fallout events going on, I think, throughout the entire weekend, right? And even if you're not into, you know, Commander, they're going to end up having, you know, they're going to have Mystery Booster drafts. They're going to end up having Dominaria remastered drafts, which I personally loved that format. I thought it was great. Like, talk about, like, power down. Look, man, I love playing my 7-mana 3-3 first strike flyer and just turning it sideways, and I'm just getting them. That's just a good card that format.
Yeah, I still haven't actually played. I don't think I've opened a pack of Dominaria Remastered yet. So I know.
So good.
I'm going to have to try
so good. Get a draft in. I love that format. And it's not just because I knew what all the cards did and nobody else did. So
that does help, though.
That does help a lot, though. So, yeah, there's definitely just a... If you want to do anything physical Magic card related, you're going to find something. Like, limited million events. Mystery Booster sealed. Dominaria. Throwbacks. They're going to have I can't say OG Ravnica, because there's now, like, 5 Ravnicas, right?
Yeah, I don't know which one were... It's current.
Remastered, probably, which was horrible, but was a fun set to draft.
Mm-hmm.
Ravnica Allegiance, right? So the one from... Which is now scary, like, 4 years ago. I don't like saying that, but well, I think it was the one.
Was that Guilds of Ravnica? That was
that block.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like, whatever that block was. Like, the one that did have Surveil cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, when... Mm-hmm. Or the first block where, like, Surveil was introduced. Mm-hmm. So, they're gonna have that. Yeah. There's anything, if you want to do it, Magic-related, is gonna end up being at SCG. And that is one of the things where I always have commended SCG for doing that. Because obviously they will have on-demand stuff, but they've always, I think, done a really good job at having at least a scheduled event that you're going to end up caring about. Yeah. Where sometimes I feel like for some things, Colorado being an example, there's not always a thing. Like, Colorado had very minimal, you know, like, Commander representation, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if just come on out. It's free to enter, right? I think you ended up mentioning that. I know we said free parking. Mm-hmm. The event itself is also free to enter. So even outside of, like, the CEDH areas, they have just a free play area, right? So by all means, I've seen people just form regular Commander pods, or there's always just a bunch of people trading and, you know, all that kind of, like, fun stuff. So, yeah, this is definitely one of the events I always end up looking forward to, like, just an SCG. It really... it really is one of those things for me personally where it does feel like a magic community. Yeah. It feels like The Gathering.
It does. Yeah, and that's definitely the best part. There's a lot of people who come out of the woodwork to just, you know, well, I'll walk around, I might as well, or, like, you know, check out the artist and things like that. Like, you know, like, I'm a big fan. I actually met RK Post. I mean, like, I feel like everyone's met RK Post, but I met RK Post at GP Baltimore in 2011. I believe it was 2011. I believe, I could be wrong too, I think Dave Shields ended up making top 8 with Blue White Delver in Standard. I don't think he won the event though. I want to say it was Dave, my brain wants to say called him Dave Shwarma, but that's definitely not right.
That cannot be right.
Cannot.
If it is right, congratulations.
Yeah, he was a player from, who always wore a Seahawks hoodie.
I actually know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So,
I do know who you're talking about now.
So, yeah, I believe he ended up winning the actual event, but, like, RK Post just made an impression on me, and that was, like, what, like, 13 years ago. RK's awesome, and I know I've talked to Brian Wachwitz before. I believe I'm butchering that last name, who drew Angus McKenzie. Jason Engel's going to be there as well, who did Agatha's Soul Cauldron, along with some other Planeswalkers and things like that, and Phil Stone as well. Some really fantastic artists, and usually they actually have some other artists there as well. I don't know if, like, Inkling Customs is coming or anything like that, but they usually do have some independent artists as well stopping by. So it's, I don't know, it's a good time. Definitely check it out. And if you find maps in our eye, definitely hit us up, get some, we have tokens and whatnot. And I don't know if, also if you're there, I need to make sure that I beat Brian Koval in the Legacy event. So just harass him as much as you can on Saturday. Be nice to him on Sunday. That's only fair. But just make sure that on Saturday he's mentally taxed enough that maybe it carries over into Sunday. Beat him in fair
combat.
Let him
stew in it, huh? Let him be like, oh my gosh. Oh my god, I'm gonna see him when? He's here?
Oh, he's here. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no, but seriously, there's a lot of... And that's actually the nice thing about, too, like, the community in general. Like, Brian obviously is a Pittsburgh guy. But Brian's fantastic. I know there's a lot of Philly people, including our friend Ryan Nicholas, aka Toronto's Bad, Lewis Stardust. The guys from Play to Win are really, really awesome. I'm hopefully going to get a game in with them this weekend. And also, definitely check them out. I don't think there's anything else we need to say. I think we've crushed it as far as shilling for SCG this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, I would say we're all, you know, basically in monetary value complete sellouts now. I think we've done it. we've sold the convention center and our city well enough without actually being compensated.
Yeah.
So that one's on the house, SCG.
Yeah, SCG in Valley Forge, you get that too. Philly, I guess you also, send us a Liberty Bell or something like that. We'll figure that out later. I guess with that, we should probably get out of here. I gotta put the girls to bed. Well, I guess the listeners, if they want to meet you, you'll be around this weekend, so that'll be cool too.
Yeah, I'll steal a couple of tokens from you and Mapson, so yeah. Mostly Mapson, so I can actually give them away.
Yeah, otherwise they're gonna just sit in his bag all weekend.
They're gonna be in his bag his entire weekend.
Yeah, he probably will use them for, like, plant tokens, which I know he does that occasionally. I usually use his tokens for, like, germ tokens or, like, you know, zombie tokens or something like that.
He was normally the goblin for me.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
He was always the goblin token from Fable.
Mm. So yeah.
That felt right.
Yeah, that makes sense. I definitely see that one. Insect tokens is another big one. In when I'm playing my Zemondina deck with my Scoot Swarms. So, but yeah, nothing great. I mean, he apparently gets used, I think, most often as Merit Lage, which makes a lot of sense. Merit Lage
flavor win. Card.
Yeah, the flavor win for sure. But yeah, definitely we'll have tokens. I'll give you some tokens. You'll be all set too. I'd say if people want to find you at the event, you'll be at table 104. Is it you just stay there all weekend or
all day?
Okay,
all weekend. The hall opens at 8, but I'm actually there before the hall even opens.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, good. I'm just going to be there.
Okay.
Always.
Cool. Always. If you want to find me, I am at Bad Luck Bandit. If you're interested in finding the show, we are at Depth_podcast on Twitter as well. Again, please make sure you say hi, stop by. I believe I should be there on Saturday and Sunday. I believe Mapson will be there Saturday and Sunday. I think, Alex, you'll be there Saturday and Sunday as well?
Correct.
Awesome. So, yeah. And I guess with that, I'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Yeah. All right.
Weekend.
All right, bye.
Gavin Maya taps with Green, the scene sees Reclaimer. Untap sack of flags, don't go seek the planes. Then tutor up the stage, so pull out your playbill. Doctor's podcast starring Billy Mitchell and Michael Mapson on the microphone. Dripping in mock diamonds, the collector of curtains up on act one of this magic show. Set in the forest so dense it looks decomposed, with red lacquery knights crush against death's shadow. On the legendary lake covered in ice and snow, underneath the surface lurks a lonely evil, an avatar so dark it could cause upheaval. The knight lunges forward going for the kill, but death's shadow's too tricky, it just won't sit still. Its stubborn denials compile a stack so thick, the bazooka bug emerges with Gurmag's angling. The knight takes a swing at the zombie fishes, but falls submerged for such a distance. Forsaken in the haze of the street wraith's fringes, who wanna stuff her out, they don't sneak forgiveness. Her final breath draws a deafening silence, a sound so sinister no one could describe it. It's like the subtle cracking of a turtle shell, or the surgical extraction of emerging hell. The shards of ice feel a force of vigor, the looming fear releases growing bigger and bigger, until a demon's fingers linger toward the shadow of death. An all-consuming hush, the land goes swept. The night washes up, frozen on the ice. Dryad Arbors thaw her out in the green sun's light. An expedition map suddenly unfurls, revealing Merit Lage has rearranged the world.